name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. From today's Gospel, the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 20, verse 28. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." It is Easter day, and the sun has set. The disciples are gathered together in the upper room, the same room where they celebrated the Last Supper. They were not sure what was going to happen next. They were still reeling from all the events of that Easter morning, and they still could not believe the story that Jesus had risen from the dead. Shortly after this, two men would come rushing back from Emmaus to tell them excitedly that Jesus had been with them and eaten with them just a few hours ago. And then the moment Jesus appears in the upper room to them. "Peace be with you," he says, and breathes on them. Whatever doubts the band had were now literally blown away. From then on, the apostles proclaimed this fact joyfully, that Christ had risen. But it was not all plain sailing from that day onwards. The fact of the resurrection did not make their lives any easier. Perhaps the obvious. And the fact of the resurrection does not erase that difficulties that we sometimes experience in our lives. We may have celebrated the resurrection last Sunday of all its splendour, but life goes on, and for most of us, it's not plain sailing. We cannot pretend that the glow and joy of Easter means no more suffering in the world. Putting on a Jesus Lives smile or a sticker on your car while ignoring the pain and suffering of the world is a false discipleship for Christians. And that's why, even though Christ is risen, we still have the figure of the crucified on the cross. This is well illustrated by the apostle who was missing on that Easter evening. St. John records Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. When the apostles told Thomas what had happened, he refused to believe. Not only that, he said he would not believe unless he could see and touch the 5 wounds of Jesus. So Thomas, called the twin, became Doubting Thomas, a name almost as famous in history as Pontius Pilate. Doubting Thomas, the patron saint of all who doubt or disbelieve, including modern-day agnostics and atheists. But Thomas is not only a patron saint for those who doubt. He also reminds us that sometimes the resurrection of Jesus does not mean our life's path is paved with gold or bordered with roses. On the contrary. Nevertheless, no matter what our path, no matter how difficult it is, as with doubting Thomas, Jesus is infinitely patient with us and does not stop loving us, even if it has to be on our terms, like St. Thomas. Have you ever wondered why St. Thomas wasn't there on that first Easter night? It does seem strange. The band had lost their leader, the one they dared call Christ, and he was dead. When those moments happen to us, we come together as family and friends. We need to be with each other, to support each other. And that's what the apostles did, except for St. Thomas. Probably St. Thomas chose to mourn and grieve alone. Maybe he was particularly devastated and had to be alone. Sometimes we feel like that. And on a previous occasion, Thomas had said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" He was already doubting Thomas then. And you remember Jesus' answer, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now he who was the life is dead. And so for St. Thomas, no doubt Jesus' death was a double disillusionment. And no wonder he doubted yet again. And perhaps we can understand St. Thomas not as a doubter, but probably in his disappointment that what Jesus had said previously didn't seem to be true after all. I'd be disappointed, and we've all known disappointment, haven't we? And possibly we've also known the desire to be alone in our grief and sadness. And in his being alone in that grief, he is definitely a patron for all of us, not as doubting Thomas, for grieving Thomas is one with all of us. And perhaps Thomas was also like us when he protested he must have proof that Jesus is no longer dead but risen. In a sense, Thomas is challenging God to prove himself. In his grief, Thomas wants to know that God is real, and he wants to see and believe. And surely we know what that's like. But it must be on Thomas's terms, unless, he says, I see the holes and put my hand in his side. So it's on human terms, not on God's terms, that Thomas wants to see and believe. Haven't we at least once wanted God to act on our terms? Haven't we all challenged God at some stage to be God, like Thomas, even if it was just to get us out of a hole, or put things right, or come to the rescue of one we loved? Yes, Thomas is not just doubting Thomas, he's a patron for all of us who are Christians. This congregation is not full of people who have never asked questions of God or about themselves. And many of us have looked for God in our grief, in our questionings, and just in the perplexities of our lives. And when we do that, when we question God, what happens? We discover Jesus is there, presenting himself to us like he does to St. Thomas, inviting us to touch and see. Though sometimes perhaps we were too busy to notice him standing there. Jesus took up Thomas's challenge, and he does with us too. It is often in the sacraments when we can see and touch Jesus, the risen Christ, and it is always wonderful. And our response, of course, must only be St. Thomas's response, my Lord and my God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.